listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Very good, Gene
Johnson.
From the AfterBuzz studios in Los Angeles, California, presented by Maria Menounos and Bing.com, and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies, this is AfterBuzz TV's Homeland After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. If you'd like to buzz in on tonight's show, you can buzz us at 424-256-1729. That's 424-256-1729. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Homeland After Show.
Welcome, everybody. Bing is here doing, and we are here doing another AfterBuzz TV After Show for Homeland Season 2, Episode 9, entitled Two Hats. I'm your host, John Comerford, and I'm joined in the studio by...
Roth Cornett. I am from the... What am I?
I don't know.
I am Roth Cornett, entertainment editor at IGN. Thank you, Jenna. It's been a long day.
I'm Jenna Bush, entertainment editor at Fanhattan.
She knows who she is.
I'm Thaddeus Massey at Club Thaddeus. And if you don't know, you should ask somebody.
And helming the booth is Martin. Thank you very much, Martin.
Thank you. Martin.
Okay, let's jump right in. Initial thoughts. What was your feelings?
My feelings? Sean, I feel confused.
Yeah, confused.
I feel a little betrayed.
Yeah, okay. Enough about the personal stuff. We're just talking about the show.
I feel betrayed by Quinn. No, I'm excited. We had been suspecting Quinn the entire time, and I'm happy with how it turned out. I think, nervous for a minute that he was going to end up being sort of working for Nazir or a terrorist. And I thought, oh, that's kind of a cheap trick, isn't it?
Right.
Like,
haven't
we already done that for two seasons with Brody? But no, this was so much better.
It was.
Because it brings a lot of things into question for us. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, to me, this is the most obvious solution for the CIA to make with Brody. Because I was thinking the whole time that he's like, made this deal. I'm like, you can't let this guy live. You can't let him go off to a farm in Iowa and live there forever. No way. He's a known terrorist. He's connections to terrorist organizations in the world. You don't have the resources to watch him 24/7 for the rest of his life. You got to kill him.
Yeah, and if he becomes vice president, I mean, you cannot have that.
Well, I don't think that was ever an option. I think they were going to make him, you know,
back
sort
out.
Of withdraw from the race and then go disappear.
Right.
But to me, it's like, and I'm not saying I think that's the right thing to do, but it's the thing that seems logical that the CIA would do. And you also, if you're the CIA, can't let it out, because think of the public relations nightmare that it would be that an American soldier was turned, and what a public relations coup it would be in turn for some of these organizations, or the terrorists.
So now the big question, I think, is does anyone tell Kerry? I mean, does Saul, now that Saul has an idea, or any of these people, do they tell Kerry? Would you do that? Is that a good idea?
No.
I mean, of course it's not a good idea, but I mean, would
they? Which is exactly why they will.
Exactly.
Well, I think Saul now understands that Quinn is not who Quinn purports. He's not an analyst, but I don't think he knows that he's there to kill Brody. You know,
no,
and
he,
so what would he really tell Kerry at this point? Except, and so at that point, maybe.
But they'll find out. She'll find out. She has to find out.
There has to be another rising something that's imminent before they get rid of Brody.
Yeah. Well, we have three episodes left.
Just for the show's sake.
Yeah.
I think that this imminent threat is going to play out at least for another episode, because as of the end of this episode, he's on his way there. And
right.
I mean... Look, we saw the preview, so probably this isn't true, but one of the things that I was wondering as we saw it, we're watching it, was, okay, has Brody been completely honest? Is he now...
We don't know.
We don't know.
Right.
Is he now... Is actually this part of the whole elaborate ruse, and is he on his way to do Nazir's work? Now, we saw the previews, like, doesn't look like it. Which is too bad that they showed that, because I feel like that would have been a fun question to ask.
Yeah. Well, don't you think there is another thing in play here? I mean, that wasn't the whole play.
I don't think that was the whole play.
There's got to be another play going on.
I mean,
what it is, we don't know.
I would have thought that, and I would have thought that Brody was central to that play, that he was maybe like lying and maybe still, you know, had been brought back to the other side again. Mm-hmm. But looking at that preview for next week, it really doesn't look like that, because it looks like Abu Nuzir is pissed off.
Yeah, but it also could be that Abu doesn't... Well, let's just put it this way. Brody may not know how he's part of the other plan.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. That's true. Yeah, he may
Abu
be...
Abu may be playing him.
Yeah.
Maybe. So. It's possible. Yeah, there. I mean, the thing is, he's still a guy that is frequently directly next to the vice president, who was Abu Nuzir's primary target. Mm-hmm. That's the guy that he really wanted dead.
And still is Brody's to some degree. He wants to evangelize his death.
Yeah, he does. Yeah. So, and he's always next to him, so there still could be more to play. Where is Carrie going? I guess that's getting into, like, previews, but...
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, I think it's not like he can walk in with a vest. I mean, he can't.
He can't at this point. I mean, so what?
But if he's that close to the president, he doesn't, and vice president, he doesn't need
he doesn't
a vest.
Need a vest. Yeah. Right. He really needs, like, anything sharp.
Yes, that's true. A pen.
He doesn't even need that. I mean, he snapped that guy's neck. So
yeah, he could snap it. He's a Marine. I mean, and that's the thing is, like, a Marine is trained to kill in any number of ways. And so. Brody is trained to kill in any number of ways, you know.
And maybe that's the thing. He just needs to get...
He just needs to get
maybe
next
Abu
to him.
Maybe Abu just wants him to get alone with the vice president and give him the right motivation.
Yeah, maybe. It's possible. I mean, it would seem kind of like anticlimactic to end that arc now. You know what I mean? Yeah. This abruptly.
Yeah. Well... And we have how many more? Three more episodes?
We have three more episodes for whatever's going on. And I like the idea that the writers have elegantly been able to get us back to the point that we don't know what team he's playing on, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you would think that at the middle of this season that would be impossible.
Yeah. Well, it was a great thing not to show us what the real interrogation was. I mean, it's all everything that we learned is what he told the CIA handler.
Yeah.
So who knows how much of that's true, even though they showed it in video. That's all speculation because it's all in his mind anyway.
Yeah, and it was shot really well, too. I mean, because you really do, as he's telling the story, like, you're like, I have no idea if this is real, especially after the way that they parted.
Yeah. Right. Well, and you could tell that the way that they parted, what we had, like, omniscient POV in that moment, that was actually happening. But when he's telling the story, it's like either a flashback or completely made up.
And what I thought was most interesting that is the one thing that he didn't hold... Well, he didn't share was the fact that they were praying together.
Right.
Now, why he held that back, who knows? But the fact that he thought it in his mind, whether it really happened or he just thought it, he chose not to share that.
For whatever was he telling reason. The truth?
So, yeah. For me, shows what?
Was he telling the truth?
I don't know. But it shows whatever it was. Whether he was thinking it really happened. But the point is that he didn't share that. So all that really told me was this whole thing could be a sham. He's lying about something in some regard. So who knows if any of it's true.
And that's the thing is like what they've done that I think is really clever is that you understand why, even if he was on the up and up, why he wouldn't share the fact that he was praying with him because that would look really bad. And from his point of view, it has nothing to do with the relevant facts. You know what I mean?
Which it's just he doesn't trust them either.
And he doesn't. Well, I wouldn't trust them. For a second, but so it makes sense. Even if he's being forthright, that he would still lie about that.
Yeah.
Or maybe he's lying about everything.
Yeah.
And like, because this character is that guy that no matter what he says, you're like, I don't know if you're lying.
Yeah. And Damian Lewis he's so good with the way. I mean, his facial expressions, like you know something's going on behind his eyes.
Yeah.
You just don't know what.
And then we watch him lying where we know he's lying about Roy Ahmad, and he looks convincing. Roy Ahmad is a terrorist.
I know.
You know. So you're just
that
really
was
like
funny.
You're
that was
really
funny.
Like this guy is just. I mean, if he wasn't a terrorist, he would be an amazing agent for the CIA.
He totally would.
You never know. Maybe we can.
No, I don't know. I'm pretty sure.
Maybe we could turn him into an agent.
I'm pretty sure they're going to dispatch. I mean, I think the season is. It almost has to end with Brody dying.
I think so too.
So you're postulating that now?
Not yes.
But the Homeland Riders, you cannot kill Brody.
No, I think they have to.
I think they have to also.
Because what else would the CIA do with this guy but kill him?
Let's put him. But for the sake of the show, how would you elevate something else to the importance that would make people come
another
back
terrorist
next.
Attack. Another terrorist attack.
I mean, what's going to make it? You know what I'm saying? I'm
just
going
to
turn into 24.
Yeah, I mean, there. Well, the thing is, all right. Well, 24 did start to fall off after a while, but they really did do that. Like at the end of one season, that threat's taken down. Doesn't mean there's not going to be another huge one. Mm-hmm. And then you have to look at who Carrie could be without Brody in her life, and what the after effects of the death of Brody would mean to her, and all of that. So I mean, there's so many places they could go with it. So
I mean, the other thing is, I think you're right. You need another imminent attack or something like something. That or something for her to investigate. But you also need, and this is the thing, is that the crux of this show, and I think why it's so popular, is this relationship between, and all of the relationships. If Brody dies, all of those other ancillary characters become irrelevant. Dana becomes irrelevant. Jess becomes irrelevant. Mike becomes irrelevant. So I think what would amaze and impress me greatly is if they were able to kill him and still make all of that relevant and create a relationship. And I think, I honestly think that's one of the reasons that Quinn was brought in to test the waters, if this guy could somehow step forward and play a role, a different role, but play a role that was equivalent to the dynamic that she had going on with Brody. And I don't necessarily mean a romantic dynamic. I mean an antagonistic dynamic, you know?
That would be very interesting to see. And you know what's funny? As soon as they introduced this character, Rupert, into the show, that's the first thing I thought. I said, okay, just in case they have to dispose of Brody, then this is going to be the character to step right in and be that guy for the show. So it's kind of interesting to see where they're going with it right now. Now Saul's investigating his background and... That was very interesting to give some depth, to this
Quinn,
character.
Quinn has to know that Saul knows because he said, what did he look like?
I love that conversation. Can we pause for a moment?
So good.
Can we state for the record that Saul is the most interesting man in the world?
I think he is.
He is the coolest man on the planet.
He's that guy in the Dos Equis commercial.
He is that guy. He's a Nego Montoya.
Yeah, he is that guy. Because, I mean, that moment where she's sort of, he's so amazing at with the question, you know, she's starting like, why do you know this? Why do you know? And she's just he's just looking at her.
Right.
I know.
Waiting for her to say break. More than she really wants to say.
People hate silences. They reveal themselves in silences. Yep. So.
It was like the fact that you have this uniform on means nothing. You have no idea. And she can feel that too. She can feel that heat coming. It was like, this effing guy? Like, dude, like, what is this guy's deal?
I was waiting for her to say something when he left. Like, okay. But, and, I mean, he's so her well.
Yeah, he did, but she's a pretty cool customer too, which I kind of appreciated because it's not like he walked in on a Jess.
Right. Oh, Jess. Oh, God. Don't give her phones. Don't let the woman know any information about anything ever. Ever.
I don't know if she was an agent or whatever.
She was a CIA agent.
Don't say anything. What are you doing? What's your plan? What's going on? God. Tell me all
about
the CIA.
Is everything okay? What's going on,
like,
Brody?
See, I'm going to get yelled at again. But the minute she handed that phone to Jess, I was like, do not give that woman a phone and tell her, hey, just make sure everything is really covert and you don't mention anything about the CIA. So what does she do immediately? What does she do?
What's going
Brody,
on?
Brody, is there anything
CIA.
That you can tell
me?
Because if there was anything he could tell her, would he tell her over an open line?
No.
It was a secure sat phone, right?
But you know, that they don't even, like, it was never actually said, and I listened for this, it was never actually said directly to him that they were in a safe house.
Right.
Just that they were safe. Jess.
It's so frustrating because
she's
I think
bad.
At this point you hope.
I mean, she's not looking bad.
Yeah.
But she's looking bad.
Well, tell me where you're at with her now, Thaddeus, because you had an attachment to this character.
I mean, I'm always going to have an attachment to her.
Right.
You know.
You had a big attachment.
I'm always going
to
have an attachment to her.
Attachment the character, to her during the nude scene.
The character, on the other hand, has tried my patience probably like the last two episodes. I've really been more annoyed with her than ever with her attitude. And it's not really so much the attitude. You can expect the attitude based on what she's going through and what she's experiencing. It's just how she's handling it.
Mm-hmm.
She's not handling it in a very mature fashion. It's very... what you would expect from someone Dana's age.
Yeah,
like
she's
a teenager.
Reactionary.
Yeah,
she's absolutely very, reactionary.
She's not composed. She has no sophistication. It's just like, dude, really? Like, really?
Yeah.
It's just like a turnoff. It's
also think, like, maybe this took an adjustment period and she had a lot of shocks, you know, like her husband was alive when she thought he was dead and things like that. But at this point, you're just like, when the CIA agent keeping you alive just said, be cool and don't say too much. Why?
I don't know. It doesn't make a lot of sense. I'm really pissed.
And we all knew she was going to say something.
I don't know what it's for, but I it bothers me, and I blame the writers for it. Say, why are you making her that stupid? She's not that stupid.
You know what? Maybe it's this.
Maybe she is.
Maybe she's not that stupid. Deep down, she just wants to be out of this complicated life situation, and she just wants to have a simple life with a guy like Mike. She just wants to live a simple life.
Well, she does, but what I'm saying is that...
Because subconsciously people do things that they really bring into their universe based on what they really want. And she is doing things to kind of escape from this situation. I think everything is just over her head. This whole life of this upper elitist political lifestyle is just too rich for her. It's too sophisticated for her. She's not that savvy. And I think it's too much for her to handle. And she doesn't want to be in this life.
That does actually
But she does want to be alive. Right. And this is my problem with what happened. Anything that he could have said or that she could have said that would have directed whatever's going on, whatever danger is present to her and her kids, that's where I'm like, okay, enough. You're talking about protecting your children, mm-hmm. who she's always been a good mother. Mm-hmm. Why would you possibly invite him to say anything that could put them in danger?
But this is exactly my point. I don't buy that she would really. It's just like that seems lazy to me that they would choose that for her to say something. I just think that's lazy.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree because the thing is that every other character is so well written.
Right.
That to have even Mike, who can be somewhat one note, mm-hmm. is still really well done.
He's
really well done.
He is great.
And you're laughing because he's also hot, but it's not what she's saying.
No, that's not what I'm saying. I think he's like the dad and the husband that Brody can't be.
Right.
And he's a mirror to everything Brody's lost. Mm-hmm. Because Brody, through his experience, has become this other man that now belongs with Crazy Carrie. Mm-hmm.
Right.
And Mike is the man who belongs with Jess in that simple life where he's fathering his daughter.
Right.
You know, in a way that he can't do. As much as he loves Dana, he can't be a proper father to her that draws boundaries and is like, listen, little girl, this is what's happening, period.
That was fantastic.
Because at 15, that's absolutely what she needs to feel safe.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And so in a way, it makes Jess stand out as a character that is not as well written because you just don't. I don't buy that anyone would be that dumb. I mean, really, I totally agree with you. I just don't buy it.
Well, as soon as she got naked across the apartment, I mean, in the safe house.
Let's tell the people what you called her.
You can
buy.
Do
you want to tell the people what you called her?
I mean, it rhymes with door, but I'm just saying that, you know, not with the kids in the house.
Mm-hmm. Also, let's point out.
In this particular situation, too, you can't find any other time to get laid.
Right.
Then in this particular situation, the kids got to be, 20 feet down the hall or something like that?
Place, but look at what she was wearing when she went to bed with the children. Do not wear the negligee if you're in the same bed with your children. I'm sorry. Just put on your damn sweatpants.
That's
creepy.
Okay, I'll write this down in case
she was wearing just a regular little...
No, it was a negligee. She needed to be in pajamas with her kids, even if it's just a tank top and pajama bottoms.
Right.
She's a MILF.
She's
a sexy mom.
But I don't think her kids want to know that.
Not with her kids.
Yeah.
I'm sure she walks around the house like that on a regular basis. Not a big deal. Especially in the mornings or whatever. I'm sure she wants to get really sexy. She has a little two-piece number that she puts on.
Okay.
I'm sure we're really going down the rabbit hole here.
Thaddeus has a very inner world.
I'm just saying, I'm sure she can find something much sexier than what she has.
You've been a very good boy.
Yes, I have, Jessica.
We've discussed on many occasions this family doesn't make good decisions. Going into the room then was not a good decision.
But
at least they didn't do the cliche thing where one of the kids was going to find
him. Right, thank God. Because I don't think I would have ever been able to get that out of my head. But
that would be believable, though, actually.
It would, and yet...
In that situation.
Yeah.
Because she's very careless.
She is careless. That's exactly what she is. In every respect, and I think that's what drives us crazy.
Because it's also one of those things like, oh, really? She's going to do? Okay, fine. You know, but it also looked like, okay, they just needed to get, up the TNA factor or something. Why go there?
Because I haven't had boobs in a while.
Greatly appreciated, Miranda. I honestly do appreciate it.
Well, my guess on it is honestly that what they wanted to do is, like I was saying before, illustrate all the ways that as a as this mirror for everything Brody is not, Mike does everything that Brody cannot do. He can be a provider, providing in sense of coming in and making sure they're safe while he's off being a terrorist. He can be a father to Dana when Dana desperately needs it, and a guiding force when she so desperately needs it. And Brody's never been able to make proper love to Jess. You know, the whole time that he's been back, he's never been able to do it. Mike can. I think it's just highlighting, like, this is the guy that really should be her husband and should be a member of this. Mm-hmm. Brody is, one of these things is doing their own thing, and it's him.
Well, for better, for better or worse.
Yeah. Well, they're also, I think, showing that, like, that everything that is, like, if he had not come back, so many things would not have been set in motion.
Yeah.
And everyone's life would have been better off.
Right. And also that if he hadn't been captured in the first place.
Yes, that also.
That he might have been the kind of man that Mike is, but he's just so shattered now. There's just no way.
Who knows if he was? We don't
right.
know that.
We don't know.
Yeah, and I mean, that's something that he said, I think it was 2 weeks ago, and he was talking about, oh God, what's his face? Saying, like, he's seen too much to ever be right again.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we're seeing it again. And so when Dana asks Mike, you know, did you come back with scars? And his scar was, I thought I lost my best friend. I thought I left him over there. So that's, and I'm sure that is, like, a horrible thing to live with, but at the same time, compared to what happened to Brody, Mike has not seen too much not to be right again.
I mean, let's
and he did lose his best friend. That's the reality.
Yeah,
is that I thought I did, but he did.
He did.
And let's say Brody didn't get brainwashed and wasn't going to become a terrorist or whatever, blah blah blah. And he comes back. He was in a hole or whatever, and he comes back without the Abu Nazir and the ISA and all that. Mm-hmm. And he's trying to live his life and just blend back in. He's still going to have scars psychologically and emotionally. And he still may not be able to make proper love to his wife.
Yeah.
And he's still going to have issues and with his you know, kids. His friends and his kids and whatever he dealt with and then had to endure in that 8-year period. So I think the terrorist thing is just an icing on the cake as far as that situation is concerned. He would have come back home with problems anyway.
And they probably...
And would she really even be able to stand by him regardless?
Right. Probably Although, not. If he hadn't been brainwashed by Abu Nazir, he might not have come back at all.
Yeah, that's true. He probably just would have been killed.
Right.
But
let me pose this about Mike, because we certainly don't like her choice for going into the room. Are we okay with him not sending her
Oh,
away?
Come on now.
No, I'm not kidding you.
Morena Baccarin, I never said I didn't like him going in the room. Wait, but Morena, I think that I actually am not as sort of upset with her action as you guys are.
No,
I think it's pretty understandable. She's lonely. She's scared. She's confused. This guy is the only source of comfort for her.
I don't mind. I didn't say I didn't like it. I just said it wasn't smart.
That's all.
I just don't think it's. I don't think that's something you do when the kids are in the house with you. You're trying to create a safe.
Are you
that's
kidding? Not, are I don't you think saying that parents don't have sex when their kids are sleeping in the
I don't
house?
Believe I said anything close to that.
Yeah. So what's the big difference?
The big difference?
Because you're in a CIA safe house, and maybe doing it then when your kids are
banging
there
dad's best
might
friend.
Not be the best place.
Fair enough. If the kids walk in, that's even more traumatizing.
Okay. Gee, thank you for giving me that.
I'm with you on that.
That was the main thing, really, the kids. If the kids weren't there, I'm like, oh, well, whatever. They already have something. You know, there's an issue with Brody.
Brody's already cheated on her, and she knows it. And also, she knows he's been with Carrie since all of this stuff happened.
Yeah.
I would agree with you that it's not the smartest thing or the best timing, but it's an understandable thing for her to want to do. But I agree with you that it's not, because if the kids walked in, they'd be even more upset and traumatized.
They'd be traumatized.
As far as Mike is concerned, like, I'm sorry, Morena Baccarin crawls into bed, an average male, like, Morena Baccarin crawls into bed in a nightie and starts stroking you.
Thaddeus is not going to have a problem with that.
What is a man going to do? I mean, really. He's going to be like, oh, you know what?
Yeah.
The kids are asleep in the next room. I don't give him a pass. I just think...
Well, the time to stop her would be before she got in the room, before she got in the bed.
He was asleep. He was asleep, wasn't he?
No, he woke up, saw her standing there at the door, and then...
He was rubbing one out.
That would have been this...
His hand was... All right.
Apollo Priestess just tweeted saying that we were so right about Jess and that she'd run away with him because he's a good man.
Right.
Mike.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's what he was doing, you know, just so you guys know, because that's what really, I'm a guy, I know what guys do. And she came in and she put her hand right in the same spot because she knew what he was doing. And she was like, let me take care of that for you. That was the implication. And she went ahead and handled the business. That's what happened. Morena.
That's Oh, dear.
Mike is a lucky guy. But I mean, she knows the guy's in love with her.
Yeah.
I mean, he has no resistance for her. He's doing the right thing based on the situation. He's staying away. He knows it's not his family. It was probably one of those mourning grief type of situations where it was like, okay, blah, blah, blah. And then they ended up hooking up. And then Brody comes back in the picture and is like, I have to do the right thing. This is my boy. That's his wife. This is his family. I've got to step out of the picture. But obviously, you just can't turn feelings off like that. So he's in love with her. And everybody knows that he's in love with her. Even Brody knows that he's in love with her. But there's nothing he can do. But if she's going to come in the room and strip in a situation like, it's not like it was the middle of the day, he was completely clothed. I mean, he's in bed, sleep already. I mean, not really sleep, but
ready for
it. He's not going to have any resistance to that.
I think that's what I'm saying. I'm not saying he gets a pass. I'm saying, like, it's a pretty understandable response.
It's definitely, He's probably, while he's stroking, he's probably like, oh, we shouldn't be doing this. This is so wrong.
I would almost feel so right. I almost would not believe it. Like, there would be something that felt very off to me about it if suddenly he was like, oh, no, we shouldn't do this.
Yeah.
No, I just think it, you know, he's trying to do the right thing, but I don't know if he is. I think every chance he can, it seems like he's making himself available to be there to stay close.
Well, he also knows that Brody murdered somebody, another one of his buddies. So like he's investigated it. He found the book. Like so he it's not like he thinks Brody's this great guy. Now,
no, I don't think that either. I'm just
saying. In my head, I'm just going to go ahead and assume that Jess locked the door behind her because that makes me feel better.
She maybe locked the door behind her,
right,
you guys.
Exactly.
There you go. I mean, this is the other thing about Mike. What you're saying about Mike is...
When the nightie fell, somehow she reached back and knocked
him. Just in my head, it makes it less creepy.
Okay.
So that's what I'm going to live with.
I think it makes
sense. So she has a rich inner world as well, Thaddeus.
Exactly.
That's
nice. I mean, there are locked doors in my inner world.
Okay.
But what you're saying about Mike though is I don't know. I mean, can a person not be conflicted? I mean, can a person not want on the one hand want to be the bigger man and say, okay, I'm going to step out of the situation, but
he was
still
conflicted, all right.
Yeah. Well, still, I'm not talking about the sex. I'm talking about in general, like being available to step back in and be her man again. You know, I think it's pretty natural that if somebody's coming to him and saying, like the CIA, and saying, "Can you help them?" and this is the family
Absolutely.
That he thought was his.
But I'm just saying, I'm thinking about it. And I'm going, I don't see how he's going to get a win out of this anyway, because he should have said, "Okay, they're here now. See you later. You've got them. Everybody's safe. I'm out of here." Why does he stay? He's staying. Obviously, because there are other things
comfort.
Going on there.
As soon as she held wine up, as soon as she held two glasses of wine, I was like, he's staying.
Yeah.
And then it was like, I'll stay in the guest bed or the couch.
All that other
and
stuff,
I was like, they're
uh-huh.
hooking up.
I know, but all the times he could have said no and should have left, didn't.
Well, Dana's little explosion was almost a setup for him to stay, too.
Yeah.
Because I think was just such a fantastically done scene. But, and also I just like to point out that she was wearing the boots again. Anyway.
I'm sorry.
Crazy-ass boots.
I don't mean to cut you off. Just going back to the Mike Carey thing, I just want to give a shout out to Carrie McGee at Carrie McGee on Twitter. And she made a comment regarding the Mike and Jess situation. She said, "Of course, Mike, you should sleep in the guest room. I can't bang you if you're sleeping on the couch."
It's a very,
love the comment, Carrie.
Very good point. I like that.
Sorry about that. I just had to. That was really funny.
Oh, that's okay. No, I just think that it was such a.
It's funny how long we've spent on what was actually 2 minutes of screen time in the show.
You know,
we've been waiting for that. That's why
we sort of have.
It's a big
we
payoff.
Sort of have. But I mean, I think the thing with Dana was totally a setup, and the fact that he had to sit with her again in the room.
Yeah.
And the fact that also that Jess walked in and watched him taking care of the situation in a way that Brody could not, especially after that fight last week where she's like, "We have to take care of this." And he was like, I can't.
Yeah. Where he devolved into a little kid.
I can't.
And then there he goes. And Mike is raising the girl, you know? Mm-hmm. She just, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I think, I don't like her behavior, but I understand the things that she wants. And she, I think she did try to reconcile with Brody and it was impossible.
Yeah,
because he's a terrorist.
Because he's a terrorist and everything.
And that. I get it.
What with the terrorism?
That doesn't do it for you guys?
No, it does not.
Jesus. Dames. Whatever.
All right. So let's talk about what happens to to Roya now? What happens to Roya?
Oh.
Well, Roya was in the restaurant.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. They have to take her in now. Like,
that's it. So she...
She's done.
She's donezo, huh?
They'll try to turn her.
Yeah.
I don't think so. I think she's done because that was very public arrest. I mean, it's not like she could be a covert.
You don't think they're going to use her?
No. I think they're going to torture her for information. Yeah. The only interesting thing to me about Roya and why that may not work, you know, in this, but I think if she was just, you know, whoever, anonymous someone, they would pick her up and send her straight to Guantanamo Bay, and that would be that. But Roy is such a public figure that I think what's going to be interesting to watch is they're going to have to handle that a little bit differently than maybe they ordinarily would. And I don't know what that is necessarily, but because she's such a public figure, anything that goes on with her could become very public, and that's probably not something they want.
Right. Yeah, she's public prisoner of war now. I mean,
so they might have to very publicly try her.
Yeah.
Whereas for, I think, a lot of people, they would just ship them off.
Trying to escape.
But. Yeah.
Or she'll accidentally get shot. Sorry. But I think, ordinarily, they would just disappear. You know what I mean? And and as we know, under the laws as we have them today, they don't ever have to have a trial. You know, somebody, basically, in a lot of cases, and I don't know what Roya's citizenship statuses or anything like that at all.
They haven't revealed
any of that. So depending on that, she would have different rights or not.
Yeah.
But I think because she's famous, they're going to have to publicly try her, and that's going to be a total shit show.
Yeah. Well, did you guys know, do you guys remember early on, I believe it was the first episode, she and Estes were going to go on a dinner date?
Yeah.
I don't know if that was just a thing and we're just throwing that off now.
But that just never played out.
Right. So, I mean, it's also, if we are sort of stretching this out for three episodes, that is something that could come back up, that maybe they did.
They have a relationship.
Yeah. I mean, who knows? That might have just been a nothing thing to establish her character, but it would be interesting to see.
Let me ask a general question here, because it's something I was thinking about with the Roy Ahmad character and some of the other characters on the show. Do you think that, I know that we have there's one analyst, but do you think that there needs to be more of a presence of some Arab or Muslim characters that are not terrorists?
PC-wise?
Not PC-wise, but real-life-wise. I mean, talking about a reflection of actual reality,
that's a really good point, actually, because we really haven't seen anyone.
Yeah. And it's I think there was one really minor analyst.
Yeah,
Yeah,
I think that would be a really nice surprise
I
don't know. The casting breakdown for Homeland isn't Middle Eastern terrorists.
Because that was a trap. I don't know if it was a trap or if it was intentional, but that 24 did that.
Yeah.
Overtly, to a degree that it would be this totally normal family. But then they were a terrorist cell and you're like, come on, 24.
I know.
This just isn't the way life functions.
Well, they balanced it out a little bit by having, I think they thought they were balancing it out with the one person in that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, who is Muslim, but I don't think that balanced out at all.
Yeah, so I don't know. It's just an interesting question to me that's kind of come up in the last few episodes, but anyway.
Yeah, is that a stereotype that we're still totally comfortable seeing?
Yeah.
Or the public in general, because I'm not, I'm just saying, is that something there? You can still make fun of certain things, you can still put things in certain things in boxes, and it's socially acceptable, and I think that was a really good point.
Yeah, what do you guys think?
Well, the only time where I think that turned in Abu Nazir, what was her name? I can't remember her name. The woman that was
one of the wives. Yeah, that was kind of such a personal vendetta thing, though.
My point was that was the only time we saw somebody who wasn't specifically a terrorist in some fashion, and then she had some sort of personal axe to grind on.
Yeah.
So that was the only time where we didn't see somebody that was. So I don't know. But I don't, so far it hasn't.
Hasn't jumped out at you as a glaring thing?
Because the balance has been with the terrorists that we're all paying attention to, for the most part, is American.
Mm-hmm.
So
right, that's true.
That's true.
That's a good point.
Okay.
John Comerford.
John Comerford.
That is Matthew.
Comerford. So I want to talk about this a little bit more about this Quinn covert
situation.
Because this is, to me, this could be the imminent thing, potentially.
In what way?
Well, whatever his involvement is, I mean, we're starting to obviously see he wears two hats. And he might wear more than two hats as we go along. Who knows? But there has to be something more to this. You know, who's this Dar Adal?
Black Ops.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I would love for them to go deeper into that. Well, that's great.
Obviously will to some degree. I mean, F. Murray's going to be there next week. So.
And Dar Adal is played by F. Murray Abraham.
Right. Wait, yes. I did not notice that.
You didn't notice?
He's the bomb.
No. Yeah. Oh, I love
Scarface,
him.
How
Amadeus.
In the world did
he's
I miss
a,
that? Yeah, I know.
Amazing.
I've seen him on Broadway. He's just one of my favorite, phenomenal, all-time favorite actors. How did I not notice that was F. Murray Abraham? Okay, so he's about to be good. That's about to blow
covert.
Up.
It was covert.
Because there's no way you hire...
You don't hire
F. Murray Abraham if this is not about to play a huge role. Yeah. And you imagine with three episodes left, this probably is setting up an arc for the next season.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting because maybe Black Ops is doing things that Carrie and Saul and the team are not going to agree with. I mean, they're probably not going to agree with Shane.
Well, there's obviously Saul and he have a history. I'm guessing there was a falling out of some sort. They certainly don't agree.
Yeah. So well, also, if we're going to hook Carrie and Quinn up, which I still think is going to happen next season, then if he's on the other side of something, then that is certainly what she likes.
Right.
Nobody that's too easy to hook up with. It's very...
Right, it has to be complex.
I'm really being silly about that, but I'm just saying, like, that does... It does keep him around if he's not this. Because in the beginning, I know we were talking about, like, is he a bad guy? Is he a terrorist? Right. Is there some sort of, is he a mole? What is he? But if he is working for the country, then he's going to be around.
Well, the thing was that I thought he was there to keep an eye on Carrie. Mm-hmm. And then that he was a potential danger to her. And the SDs had put him there in order to manage that situation. And then once this operation was done, that something not great was going to happen with Carrie. Mm-hmm. And that may actually end up being so.
Well, I think he was put there to watch Carrie and Brody.
And Brody.
Yeah.
Because he even said it himself Saul. Because, you know, Saul is like, you and I are the only ones that get that Brody has to be watched 24/7. And he was like, well, do you get that Carrie has to be watched 24/7 too?
Right. Yeah.
And so if the solution with Brody is to shoot him in the head, I don't know what the solution with Carrie is, but hopefully not that. You know?
I don't think I think they only feel Carrie is a threat as far as it pertains to Brody. I don't think that they feel she's like
she's pretty.
I mean, I don't think that they feel she's a threat beyond her dealings with him.
Yeah.
You know, he's obviously an imminent danger based on everything besides Carrie. But I don't think they feel that she's a danger beyond him.
I think they do only because I don't think Estes trusts her. Mental capacity, however he regards that her issue or her ailment, whatever he, because I don't quite understand what he thinks about it, but I think he thinks to some degree she's nuts.
Yeah, I think he definitely does. She is. I mean,
I think
everybody thinks that she's a live wire with an incredible amount of information. She's compromised. And she's compromised with an incredible amount of information at the ready. And so, what are they going to do with that? And that may be a question that plays out with Saul certainly being on one side of that equation and Carrie being...
Estes is going to do what he always does. He's going to use her for as much as he can to get whatever he wants, and the rest of it he doesn't care about.
No, he doesn't. Yeah. So, but I mean, in terms of one thing is Black Ops. I mean, this is something you may be into, and I don't know if they're possibly going to go there, but into some kind of government conspiracy storyline or something like that.
Yes. Yes. All my YouTube trollers, yes.
what do you got for that?
I want to see Dar Adal and Saul Clash of the Titans some kind of way.
Uh-huh.
Maddie Patinkin and F. Murray Abraham in a scene. Wow.
That would be the Clash of the Titans right there.
Yes.
On a governmental level, I think something's going to happen where they have to... That's going into predictions a little bit. But I'm hoping that there's this tug of war with these two veteran operatives and they're going to come to a head some kind of way.
All right.
Something is going to happen.
You're saying this season?
It's all exploding on...
I think it's going to help set up next season.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Yeah. I think it's definitely going to help set up next season where everybody's going to be like, wait a minute.
And,
you know.
Because I think that what they have to do by the end of this season is... I mean, how much further can we go with Brody, really? I think that they're going to have to, in some way, you know... elegantly move him either to the background or entirely out of the picture and move this new storyline with you know, Quinn and the Black Ops forward, but it can't be just, oh, they showed up to kill Brody. It's right. got to be deeper than that right. in order for that to play out throughout the whole next season. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know what it'll be, but the only thing that I can think of, since they are a part of the government, is some kind of government conspiracy, mm-hmm. you know, especially since the only people that know about this operation are basically the people in the room when mm-hmm. everyone's in the room.
Right.
You know, it's not a lot of people.
Right.
Yeah. And also,
as far
I
as
think...
we know, we don't know if Estes has told anybody else. We don't
well, as far as we know. Yeah.
Right, right. And again, we don't know if Estes and Roya ever went out all of that. I mean, that's just another... but I think it just made me think of when you guys were talking about how another reason they have to kill Brody off because uh-huh. they can't have Brody and Carrie end up together because then she will not be in the CIA because there is no way if she's with this guy that they would continue to allow her to work there.
And the thing is, Carrie, after this operation, why would she really be readmitted into the CIA anyway? So Carrie's role on the show, I mean, listen, they're not going to lose their two main actors. They're just not. So Claire Danes, I think, is still going to be the star of Homeland. So in what capacity? Mm-hmm. I don't know. That's kind of a question.
If she's the one that eventually takes Brody down, if it's mm-hmm. her
yeah,
that
that's
does
what
it,
she's gonna have to
then
do.
They have a reason to keep her around.
Right.
Because all of this
they
stuff,
owe her.
Yeah. Well, not just that they owe her, but I think also, you know, she's obviously got these. Like you know, she's playing him, even though she's. In fact, I think I wrote down what she said. Like she's like, he's operationally dead. That's it. So it wasn't like, you know, she sat there going, "Oh my God, I love this guy. He's totally gone," or whatever. No, she was just like, "No, he's operationally dead. We have to start another plan." Mm-hmm. So it was at that moment I was like, wow, maybe she, I mean, she may be in love with him, but she's still been playing him this whole time. So if she is the one to take him down, then they know that all of the things that she's been doing were serving a purpose. Mm-hmm.
They were at the same time, though. I mean, listen, like, I've mentioned before that my brother was a Marine, and he was an embassy guard. And just for that position, he was vetted so thoroughly. I mean, they did intensive background checks on him. And the thing is, you can have zero, to be an embassy guard, you can have zero record of a mental illness or instability because they just won't trust you. And so the same is true of the, I mean, doubly, 100 times, 1,000 times more true for someone in the position that she is that operating at that level of classified information that's so sensitive to the safety of the United States. So to me, there's no way she just... welcomed back into the fold. They're not going to reinstate her.
I don't think they're going to reinstate her. I just think that they may use her for certain things.
Because of her knowledge. I mean, like they're using her now. I mean, they're only using her in this case.
That may be what that becomes like. Or does she get folded into Black Ops somehow?
I was just about to say
that's
that.
Very
she
possible.
Gets recruited by Black Ops.
Which becomes a little bit silly. I mean, they'd have to write that so well in order for us to buy it. Because it really... Because if... then Black Ops has to vet you that much more because you're talking about the people that are keeping the secrets from the people that keep the secrets.
But here's the thing. You know? Here's the thing. When you're getting into something, I believe you're vetted a little bit more than when you're already in. When you're already in, it's kind of like, she's already in. We know her. We work with her. Mm-hmm. We know all her faults.
She hasn't done anything to screw up.
She's in. She's not like a new applicant and they're like, oh, this chick is bipolar. Yeah. So we really need to. She's not like just applying.
Right. But last season, it was black and white. You're never going to step foot in Langley again. And only through this extreme set of circumstances did she.
Right.
Yeah, but I mean, their jobs are extreme. What they do is extreme. So there's going to be some exception that has to be made in order for her to still operate.
Oh, of course. But I think the writers are good enough to do it.
Exactly.
And the exception is, in this case, she was the only person that could do it. And so, to me, I bought it in this case. But they're going to have to figure out something incredibly clever for me to buy that she's still working in this capacity. Because otherwise, I think there's no possible way. You're lucky if you don't get a bullet in your head, too.
Yeah.
At the end of this operation.
I mean, there could be some sort of kidnapping. She could be on the other side of it from the, you know, I mean, I'm just totally making that up.
She does disappear, we saw in the previous.
So, but I mean, maybe she's not working with the CIA. She's kidnapped and working from within. Like, I just trust the writers enough on this show that they're going to find a way to do it. That we're all like, okay.
I did kind of want to see them get further into the operation, though, tonight. I wanted to see them go further into the operation besides just
getting them so early.
I wanted them to catch them maybe at a closer point where maybe Abu Nuzir
well, I think slips away coming. Some kind of way.
I think that's coming next.
It is coming, but yeah. I think it was just too early for
yeah,
me.
I felt that when I was watching. I'm going, shoot.
Yep, a little anticlimactic.
Yeah, right. It was anticlimactic. I think they're building it to something bigger.
They had the Quinn reveal ready in the back pocket. Yeah. I think that's what the focus this episode was about. You know, like he, you know, that Quinn was gonna just kill some people.
Yeah, he was gonna
there to kill terrorists.
He's here to kill terrorists. Yeah, he said, "You want to tell me about Dara Dahl?"
Yeah,
he was like, "Here
we'll
to kill terrorists."
There to kill terrorists. There to kill terrorists. And also, I mean, from Esty's point of view, like I said earlier, not just to kill the terrorist threat, but to kill the propaganda PR nightmare that Brody represents. Because how big of a symbol would that be
to the?
Do you know what I mean? To the other side.
Right.
How big of a victory would that suddenly appear to be to the other side if this guy had a public trial or was outed publicly? No way.
And that's part of having Roy Hamad as one of the cells that they're using with our media. Mm-hmm.
That's going to be a shitstorm too.
Yeah,
yep.
That'd be interesting.
It would have been great if they would have busted everybody on camera. That would have been the symbol to send to the rest of the world while it all gets shut down while she was broadcasting it worldwide.
Yeah, I mean, they need to control that a little bit more.
Yeah, we can never do that because if something bad happened, then it's already out there. They don't get to control the message. So, but that would have been fun.
That would have been fun.
I would have liked that. All right, we got to get on to predictions and such. So before we do that, we want to thank everybody who's been downloading from iTunes and rating and commenting on us. We appreciate those. And for people who have tweeted and sent messages today, we want to thank you for that. Keep doing that for us. What do you got for us? Anything? You checking?
Let me see. Jonathan Davies, really quickly.
Yes.
Jonathan Davies at Jonas MD said, Abu Nazir clearly not taking part in Movember. That was funny, Jonathan. That was really funny.
Right. Neither are you.
I think he probably was participating before he came to the States. Yeah. He has a bigger mission.
All right, let's move on to predictions, shall we?
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
I guess we don't have to read everyone. So
we don't have to do what?
do our predictions?
No, go ahead.
Okay, well, for next week, I believe it's just going to be pretty much the set up for a three-part conclusionary. You know, we got three episodes left. It's just going to set the foundation for the last. I think they've set these last three episodes like a three-part play, so to speak.
So what are we? Okay, then what's
kind of like the last two Breaking Dawns?
Don't say that.
Nicely done.
No.
So what is the connection between Saul and Dar? So did they know each other? Did they hate each other? Any ideas?
This is my guess, is that if Saul knows who he is, he knows who he is because he worked with or for him.
Yep. That's what I think.
And so I think my prediction for next week is that we're going to find out that Saul has a little darker past than we may have imagined.
That's why he wears the beard all the time.
That's why he's all zen now.
He still is the most interesting man in the world.
And Saul is recognizing Movember.
Oh, indeed. Indeed.
Yes. Every day.
It's not that I have a basis for saying this. I'm just guessing that Carrie's going to be the one to take out Brody. I just think that's probably the most dramatic thing. I also think it's, like I said, it's possible that they could be setting something up where she's working from inside something as though she's been, you know, maybe she's kidnapped, like I said, and she's trying to get out and finds information that way. That would make some sense.
So are you suggesting that Brody's still on his mission? He's still going to kill somebody?
Oh, no, I don't think. Okay. Well, I don't know. He might be.
Because that would be fun. Let's say this whole time he's playing everybody because he just wants to kill Walden. Yeah. He doesn't care about the rest of it.
Is that your prediction?
I think that would be a fun thing to do. And then she has to make the choice to kill him or not.
Because it's that, like, it. Or she takes Quinn out while he's trying to take out Brody.
Which that's really the end of Carrie, so I don't see that happening.
No, I don't either.
But I think maybe Brody makes a wrong move.
Well, if she saves the vice president and would-be president's life, that certainly puts her in good standing with maybe keeping
it's
her
true.
Job.
It's just that it's just that nothing in those previews indicates any of this.
No, but I don't think it's the next episode. I think maybe
but it looks like she's disappeared. She's been taken. Yeah. Abu Nuzir is mad at Brody. Mm-hmm. Brody's telling him someone that they don't get it. Mm-hmm. So to me, I think these are all reasonable based on the episode that we saw tonight, but I just don't see any of that in the previews, but maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah. I mean, if that happens, I think it would be that obviously the final moments of the season.
Yeah, that's what I think. Yeah,
I don't think it would be.
They're not going to show that.
Next episode. Mm-hmm. I don't know what I think about next episode.
And Jess does not pass her EPT test.
Fair.
Oh, my God.
And with that.
That would be interesting. Wouldn't that be good?
That would be great for the last episode.
I would be loved. Okay, I think
Mike's
that would be good.
Mike's going to be a dad.
Thank you, Thaddeus.
And on that note.
Let's leave it there. Let's wrap it up. Let's let everybody know where they can see you.
You can find me on Twitter. It's JRothC, JROTHC. And you can find my work at IGN.com.
You can find me at Jenna Bush, BUSCH, like the beer, not the president. You can find all my writing and good stuff on Fanhattan.com. And my show with Stan Lee on World of Heroes on YouTube.
You can find me on Twitter at Club Thaddeus, ClubThaddeus. You can also see me here, Vegas, 11 p.m. After Buzz.
And you can't find me anymore because I am Black Ops, and my name is not John Comerford. So on behalf of the panel here at Homeland and Martin in the booth, we want to thank you for tuning in, and we will see you and talk to you next time.
From Bing.com, executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.